Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining. I've been getting requests for some music, and I never have played country. So if you don't like country, sorry about that. But we have got to keep everybody happy, especially on a Friday when I'm calling myself a dummy. I'm not calling you a dummy. I want you guys to teach me today about Freedom Tech. And so should be a fun day. Hopefully we can have everybody share the space, get some more folks in here. But it is Friday. Good morning, everybody. Again, welcome in, welcome in. It is Friday and Bitcoin Veteran Space is number 244, where we mostly talk about Bitcoin. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I will be your co-host this morning. And we got Neil up here, puppy. And let's take a look here. Looks like we have some history made today on the Bitcoin blockchain. This day in 2010, it was discovered that block number 74,638 contained a transaction that created over 184 billion Bitcoin for three different addresses. And that bug was fixed. But I'm not sure if that has any significance for us today, 15 years later. Today is Friday, August 15th, 2025, and we are at Bitcoin block height number 910,163, with the Bitcoin price sitting just below 118,000. That price seems to be a magnet, but what that means is you can still pick up about 848 sats for each US dollar. All right, one announcement, and I will keep announcing this. Bitcoin Veterans is having their second annual summit in Nashville, Tennessee on November 10th and 11th. If you're interested in that, please go to bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. Day one's going to be a conference day, so we can hang out with our friends and learn some stuff. And day two will be a range day. So if you've ever wanted to shoot a firearm, if it would be your first time, you're welcome. If you're very experienced, you're welcome as well. And we'd love to have you. But bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025 needs some speakers, panel topics, volunteers, and just regular old guests if you want to show up. So, yeah, put that on your calendar. Hope to see you guys there. It should be fun. All right. Guys, we've avoided speaking about the news all week, and we're going to see if we can do it again today. I don't want to bring out the crickets, but if people want to come up, we'd love to have you up. If you're in the audience, hit that microphone button. Love to have the new voices. And if you can't come up, use that little purple pill in the bottom right to put a question, a comment, snide remark, or meme. I just did one myself, and I see AC has as well. All right, guys. Well, looks like so far it's Neil and Pubby. Let's go around and see how everybody's doing on this Friday. Neil, my good friend, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Got some other projects popping up and keeping busy in the fight for the Bitcoin fight.
Yeah, let's fight this morning. Pubby, how are you today, sir?
Good morning, fine people. Yeah, doing good. It was funny. I was looking through. I had some old tweets and I found one from just, 2020. And we were just all, well, not us here, but people in general, the noobs. Oh my God. We're crashing from 10,000 to 8,700. And even back then we said, Hey man, just keep your shit together. You'll be fine. That was the time to buy the dip. I'll share that one up in the nest. But sure, that's a nice thing, man. You get to parade over people's graves when you've been tweeting about this for many years. Everyone that had come out and said, "Oh my God, you guys are so retarded. How do you do this Bitcoin thing?" Well, this is why, because we hodl for a long time, my friend.
Yeah, good stuff. I did just get a request from BFP. He's probably going to bring some birds to us. Hopefully, not Matrix birds, but. His request. Oh, there he is. Good morning, BFP. How are you today, sir?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, great, and wonderful. It is an awesome Friday. And, you know, it's funny. We had on Wednesday announced the Bitcoin price right around 118,000. Then Bitcoin hit a new all-time high. And then it went back down to 118,000 for our show yesterday. And then it's been bouncing around. And here we are around 118,000. So we'll see what it is Monday. But it's fun to see people freak out over nothing. And we're going to talk about the freedom that Bitcoin gives us this morning and hopefully stay away from the news. And so, yeah, I want to pose the question to the panel and everybody in the audience. If you want to put something in that comment box or come up and speak. But what, what things do you guys think about when it comes to freedom? Besides getting off zero, where should people start as they look at this technology, this asset, this network that can bring them some sense of freedom if they do it right? And I know that's a broad question, but curious to hear what you guys think.
I can go first. I think it just gives you the ability, which, you know, not the right, but the ability to do whatever you want with your money. And it also gives you the ability to not be debased through long periods of time. And you can watch a government spiral out of control, whatever country you live in, and just live your life and not worry about the tyranny of enslavement or theft or whatever you want to call, inflation and all that jazz. It makes taxes voluntary also. I mean, you might go to jail, but hey.
Yeah, I'd like to stay in the fight, as Neil was talking about, so I will be paying my taxes. Puppy, Neil, do you have other thoughts?
So to say, like, where do you start? I think you should start with yourself and looking in the mirror and really, honestly asking yourself and answering, you know, what your life means to you. What are you? What are you doing? You know, are you like, that's how, what was so helpful for me. That's where I started. And, matching the things that I told myself that I believed with my actions in the world, you know, like that's the most important thing you can do for your life. Like that congruence between your values and your beliefs and then your actions. That's what's going to keep you sane. Like that's how you weather storms, no matter what not just volatility of price action, but just the volatility of your life, the ups and downs and all that. Like, when you know what you are, who you are, where you want to go, and you don't take your eyes off that. It helps you measure the world. It gives you a reference point to where you can actually understand and discern reality itself and then navigate it. And, the economic realities of this world, I basically just ignored. Didn't really have to deal with for most of my life. And, when I opened my eyes, I can't unroll that consciousness. Like I can't unsee it. And I'm not going to pretend I didn't see what I see, you know? And, we come into these rooms and we share this stuff. And I mean, we find Bitcoin as a tool to solve a problem. If the central banks and our politicians didn't create this problem, we wouldn't ever need Bitcoin. We wouldn't need the solution. I don't know. Can I imagine a world without Bitcoin in some fantasy land? Yeah, I would love to have a world that we didn't need this. Like it was just like, avoiding prevention is like way better than the cure, and treatment. But, our economic condition is very sick in this in reality, and I'm just so happy that Bitcoin is this like nuclear antibiotic, antiviral, just nukes it all. And that's why I'm a Bitcoin maximalist.
Neil came to fight this morning. No, thank you, Neil. That was awesome. I do see some hands and want to welcome to the stage Alexander. How are you this morning? And what say you, sir?
Well, thanks for having me. I guess I can only say what I say. I'm a student of Bitcoin since Epoch 3. I think, and you look from a macro perspective, it's really what Saylor said. Everybody has the same problem. And the problem is inflation. It's a tax without representation. At the end, I think, and I studied this shit, right? So we need 2% to be productive. So that you, Bob, get out of your bed with your ass and do something, you definitely have, your money has to devalue, okay? Otherwise, you would not get up, right? So that's why we accept the 2%. Or now, would they say 3%? When you look at the real figures, and that's only what brought Bitcoin, the network, right? All the education. So we will create a lot more value around scarcity, digital scarcity. But when we look at the real numbers, we have 8%. I cannot compete 8% my whole life, probably until you're 40. And then you cannot compete 8% by outprinting. And again, when you even hear, listen to Milton Friedman and you study the freaking history, that's always probably the hardest for me to accept. Okay, with all my knowledge, yes, inflation is fraud and it comes down to the government. So we have to probably get rid of all these bureaucracy. Otherwise, there's no way, okay? There's no way. And again, every politician runs for office and we all elect him because he promised us a better future. Where does this is coming from? At least he can show me that he's self-sovereign and all what it takes is 12 to 24 words. That's all.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, I was actually thinking about that this morning. I'm going to let Pubby go here in a second, but I was thinking how, man, you can just spin up a wallet and get paid for something. I think a lot of people.
I mean, I have to give you that again. America is at least a little bit wiser than Germany keeping the stuff. Okay. If I would be president, I would definitely, I mean, okay. He plays a lot of golf and all that stuff. Probably he understands what a private key means. Wouldn't that put confidence in someone who promises you a lot that he understands how important 24 word be because the money's already there. Doesn't matter where you go.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Pubby, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to put out some of these topics ahead of time so we can put a little more thought, get prepped. Freedom, like you said earlier, such an overarching term. You know, one of the things that really when it comes to Bitcoin is there's freedom that you find, obviously the monetary freedom with just simply Bitcoin in and of itself. But there's this overarching freedom from control, freedom from things that are not healthy that Bitcoiners go down that rabbit hole. And once you're here, some of you guys know Katie, the Russian. And she does her was it Plan B passport, like freedom to travel. But she hosted a sort of a get together at one of the conferences. This is a little side conference. But is the freedom that Bitcoiners realize that maybe there's something wrong with the food industry, obviously in pharmaceuticals. But she has, you know, she had people come in that do the homesteading. You know, there's freedom of what can I cut out of my life that isn't necessary. What do I really need to do as my stack grows here? And I want to just, you know what, have a few money that I can do what I'm passionate about. Or I don't need to rely on things I can control. Those are the things, cybersecurity. How can I have freedom from surveillance? Okay. All these things that the sense of control that you find, you come into Bitcoin, a lot of us, you know, number comes up, goes up. Yeah, that's fantastic. But it's when you get here, you realize, dear God, you know, I am under a microscope, this panopticon of a surveillance state. And it's a freedom that Bitcoin provides because you get here and I see Jimmy's down there listening and he's always fantastic on his show on Sundays. I do nothing about like the homesteads, growing things and building shit. But man, you go in there and it's cool. It was nothing I really had a desire for, right? I mean, I'm in a city right now, but it's great to see these minds come together that talk about this thing called freedom, because that's truly what it is to me. Freedom from control, freedom to do what you want.
Yeah. Can you guys actually, before we go there, did want to say good morning to our co-host, Texas Toast. He was messaging me this morning saying, unless you change the title of this space, I'm not coming in because I'm not a dummy, but wanted to say good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Freedom. I think, you know, I thought of a couple things as Puppy was talking. One was, you know, freedom from credit scores and BS, freedom from when you self-custody from, you know, the whims of somebody else, affecting your financial life, whether that's a scam or any of these things. If you, you know, you have complete power to control, you know, your financial life. It's a powerful tool. I don't know about you guys, but I've had family. I've been scammed. I've had to deal with the somebody stealing your info and then taking out a credit card in your name and all this crap. And it's a huge pain in the butt. Then it wrecks your credit score. It's like, you know, I haven't had to deal with that in 5 years because I just take everything down. Every Coinbase text I know is a scam. So it's like there's a lot of freedom in knowing that, you know, your funds are safe and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. And then, yeah, I mean, there's a thousand different things that it enables. The other thing is it kind of gives you, it teaches you that discipline is a true form of freedom. When you're able to discipline yourself and save long term and, you know, think about the future and make different decisions. It kind of highlights all that stuff. For me at least, and saying that, you know, you have the power to change your life. You're free in this world and you can just do things. So that's kind of cool. Those are all my only thoughts, Bob. You don't need to change the title.
Yeah, we like to make fun of ourselves, or at least I like to make fun of myself, and then you guys can come in here and pile on. But I did want to key in on something that you said. You made me think about the fact, like, especially for people in here that have really stopped using exchanges or have begun to self-custody, that it is true that once you pull your Bitcoin into self-custody, that, yeah, it's a lot easier to just know that when you're quote-unquote being fished that from Coinbase or from any other exchange, that it doesn't matter, right? Your funds are not held on that exchange. And so maybe a good reminder for some of us as we're talking to others about why they should self-custody. Avoid scams and don't rely upon third parties or third-party systems to hold your Bitcoin. Just another reminder. We say that a lot on here, so sorry for repeating, but I think it's good for us to not only realize for ourselves, but for others that we talk about. And that gets me thinking about people like Julian Assange. They, you know, really tried to go after him, and you could call him a journalist, you could call him an activist, you could call him a dissident, but he was giving out information, and sure, it was leaked to him, and so maybe he shouldn't have been doing that, you could argue. But I just think back to the funding that he was able to secure to keep doing what he was doing. And obviously they put physical pressure on him. And he was seeking asylum, right? But, that whole story, is just another reminder of the empowerment that Bitcoin could give us, the freedom, at least for a time. Maybe you can make better choices and maybe you can, figure out your physical security a lot better, but, I do think that that is one case study that came to mind as I was thinking about freedom.
Yeah, the truckers as well. I mean, the truckers are great. The Canadian truckers, like, that's slowly fading into the background. But that was another wonderful instance of, you know, you can't stop a movement. even by freezing bank accounts or doing anything. Like, we have this technology that can keep some things going. So, yeah, that's another one that comes to mind for me.
Texas, yeah. We, you know, BJ, I'm going to do this basically next week. And yeah, we try to keep that in everyone's mind is just remember how they were shutting down everyone's bank, right? All the credit cards, debit cards, and even the businesses that were trying to help those guys. They were going, oh, you're going to serve them coffee and breakfast? And they were shutting down those accounts. You know, one thing, I just want to touch real quick. I see a hand up there, but when you're bringing up Julian Assange, sometimes what gets lost there is, they didn't go after him, right? They didn't go after him for telling the truth. Or that's why they went after him. It wasn't like he told a lie and they went after him. It's because he told the truth and it got out. That's the insane part. It wasn't like, hey, this guy just made up and manufactured this. No, he released the information and you're going to try to kill the guy because he told the truth. And that should sum it all up for you when we talk about freedom.
Yeah, they didn't sue him for libel or slander.
So true. Good, exactly. good points. I didn't see who was first, BFP or Alexander. You guys want to duke it out?
Yeah, I think I was first. Besides, I'm American. He's German. I'm just messing around. I love Alexander. He's great. I was totally joking. But yeah, I was just going to bring up a point that David Bennett on Bitcoin And always talks about. He's like, if you're going to do something that is revolutionary or that, you know, like Julian Assange, the samurai guys, all these people that are doing things that are freedom, you know, things that help us gain freedom to remain pseudonymously anonymous. And Bitcoin gives you that privilege. You can work and be pseudonymous and collect money. So you can help change the world in a way that pisses these controllers off. And, you know, still get paid and live your life, but you're going to have to remain in the blind to kill this beast or to get a big, thing. Still, they're going to put you in jail. And I'm not that guy. I'm too old and I got my kids. So I'm just living my life, but, if you're going to do it, be careful.
Alexander, go ahead, sir.
Thanks. I guess, guys, seeing that what was going on in Canada and how Trudeau or something, right, really freaked out. Guys, come on. I mean, first of all, I don't know how long COVID was going on up there already. And I think everybody decided on their own already. Does he take the shot or does he just say, okay, then I go and then and die for whatever. So totally crazy, right, for me that they can make you that kind of a trouble. I think that woke a lot of people up. Because again, and why do I say that? Not because I'm a conspiracy theorist, but how long is COVID now, right? It was 2021, right? After 4 years, we still, at least on the mass media, we still not commit. Did we brought it over ourselves or was it really done in nature? And I know all stuff here in Twitter and all that stuff, right? Mass media is still not interested in does someone has to pay or not? Or again, are we really that stupid to ourselves?
Alexander, I just read a thing in the newspaper about COVID. Some guy shot a policeman and then killed himself. And the media spun it as, you know, he's been deceived by this misinformation. All these conspiracy theorists. So, you know, it's, they're not admitting the lie.
Bitcoin for president. I'm just saying, okay, yes, I would have an interest to know where we do so stupid to really actually cause it on ourselves. And honestly, for me, more evidence is pointing towards this, right? So, but that again, with COVID, a scam, I mean, that they really bring down the people. And I really had these cases, right? That some people could show up and say, oh, ring the bell and are you home? I guess, yeah. So that they really were checking you. What the fuck?
Scandemic, okay. Epstein. You're not going to find out the truth from people on television, that's for sure.
So, but yeah, that would. Just what I wanted to say. So that was Canada was kind of, okay, let people just be people, period.
Yeah, I do think people are seeking accountability for a lot of these things that you guys were bringing up. And it almost seems because the narrative in the mainstream media or propaganda, whatever you want to call it, is to kind of hide or to deflect or confuse or conflate. That has led to the rise of platforms like X, right? And I start to wonder though, like how much of this that we, this discourse that we have and these things that we point out from time to time, some accounts maybe every day, how much is it that they allow for it so they know who their opponents are? And so that's not to shut you up, guys. We should keep talking about this and to find things, systems where we can hold these people accountable. But it just does seem that just the way now the election cycles are set up, the way these politicians behave, especially in the United States, that I'm not saying your vote doesn't count, but the accountability really has been lost to a large extent, in my opinion. And I think maybe if some other people agree or disagree with that, maybe you want to chime in, but it really does bring up a good, I think a good topic around accountability and what ways can we work together to not just sit around and complain about it, but also figure out ways to fix it. I think some people would say, well, Bitcoin does that. I agree. And it is a long range thing, but you know, maybe there's some other ideas that people have around this rant. Well,
when I can chime in there, but I think it's still okay. I mean, we still, what we say, always in an echo bubble, and the world still tries to figure out, is Bitcoin a net positive? I don't know. It's early to say after 16 years, right? But yes, I think, again, I don't understand these gold bugs, and they probably have pretty good understanding of history. But
dude,
I would ask,
dude,
when I would, or
you
probably
don't know
I
the half
too much
of it,
credit.
Brother.
Okay, probably I give him too much credit. But when I look at Peter Schiff, it seems to me, okay, that his gold makes him not very happy, and I connect that with freedom, kind of. So that at least seems to me. To be honest, again, when you do not custody, self-custody your Bitcoin, okay, and that means with some technical understanding and the hardware solution or the wallets got way better, okay? But let's put it, I mean, let's say you have to be interested to put 50 hours of work into it and let's say $200. So, and then you probably will have a lot more happiness with your Bitcoin. At least I would say so. And that's what I would ask Mr. Shift, right? With his gold bars in the basement or wherever he is hiding them. So much to freedom.
Alex, have you ever seen Goldmember?
Mm-mm. Nope. Don't know what that is.
Great movie. Austin Powers, Goldmember. You should check that out. That's you get a good picture of okay. Peter Shift.
I was like not so attached to the comedy of this, right? This he was so little. What was the main character? I was not so kind of my kind of comedy, but I understand what you say. Okay, it's like, yeah, doesn't matter. Probably I'm crazy. Probably I am, but again, so the math, 21 million guys. Okay, we are 8 billion, at least. And I hope that we still can turn around and get to 12 billion people on the planet. So it takes 21 million crazy people. And what I said, we needed 16 years to come to 100,000. Let's see if this S-curve adoption is positive or is correct.
Did you guys talk about the Bank for International Settlements thing already?
No, we have not brought that up. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just crashed the conversation and I don't want to switch it up if you're not ready.
We're so
no,
ready.
No, go
dude.
Ahead. I think Texas Toast was just about to launch into a gold tirade. So let's pause him there and let's go to the BIS or the BS. You want to tee it up, TC?
I was just actually finding the post, so it's not completely out of context. I just put it up in the nest. Somebody posted about this thing. Bank for International Settlements wants to start marking bitcoins. So this is just the latest of a lot of these types of perspectives from several different entities around the world on, you know, theories for how to sort of tamp down the freedom of Bitcoin and how to interface between Bitcoin and the traditional financial rails. And most importantly, relative to this latest one, how to, you know, clearly denote trustworthy or untrustworthy Bitcoin addresses, Bitcoin transactions, UTXOs, et cetera.
Are they going to use rare sats? Are they going to use the proprietary?
Okay, so I've seen the posts that say this is ordinals. That's cute. That's funny, and it's also totally not funny. In the sense of trying to track UTXO movement, you're in the same like general ballpark. This is nothing like ordinals. Okay. This is literally like the central bank of central banks coming out with, you know, clear, findings in regards to their assessment of how to interact with Bitcoin and basically KYC AML frameworks being overlaid over public ledger of transactions means that if you're transacting with any financial institution that is regulated in this framework, you could suddenly find yourself with, you know, Bitcoin you can't spend and things like that. I mean, this is like the biggest issue in my mind with Bitcoin overall. It has to do with the fact that when you're sovereign with Bitcoin and you hold your own keys and you run your own nodes and you're interacting with other individuals in the world, you're pretty close to unstoppable, uncensorable, etc. Like the freedom and sovereignty is incredible. But, you know, as we're watching this cycle with Wall Street marching in and governments warming up and all these new legislations getting passed trying to regulate this stuff, I mean, this is the main game here. This is the main attraction, which is essentially that it's clear that all of these institutions want to control everything that they can. And that means that for actually the majority of Bitcoiners, if you are of this perspective, that you think the people that are truly sovereign with Bitcoin are a small minority, which is what I believe. I think most people don't hold their own keys. Most people don't run their own nodes. Most people rely on their trusted third parties that hold their Bitcoin or, you know, client-side apps and all these things. All of that stuff is going to basically have to deal with these regulatory frameworks, these kinds of restrictions that get put on things. We saw yesterday the whole dust up with the Google Play Store regarding wallets. It's just this is really, I think, going to be a growing issue as far as what most people who are not fully sovereign experience with this. And then for the people who are fully sovereign, it's a big warning too, because what it means is now you have to be that much more careful about when you are transacting, who you are transacting with, and what the potential implications are. And this raises to me all the concerns about coin control that have been really juicy topics to talk about over the last several years. If you don't know what coin control is, if you don't understand how to manage your UTXOs and how to label those things, it's imperative. I mean, this just means more responsibility for you as a Bitcoiner. You need to know these UTXOs here came from this exchange. And you need to know that for your own benefit so that when you transact, there's going to be some transactions you actually purposefully reach for those UTXOs because those UTXOs are known to the system. And now you're transacting with some financial institution or somebody who has to go through a KYC check. And if you used sort of off the radar UTXO or something that you got from mining or from, you know, a peer-to-peer transaction, you could get flagged. You could get your funds frozen or taken. And that's pretty nasty, honestly.
TC, quick question. I agree with you that UTXO management definitely is a big and is important and will be more important. But, and also that you do it to your own benefit, at least when you want to know where, you know, when you're an orderly person. But when it comes to the benefit, when I have them to communicate with an exchange or stuff, they shouldn't care. How can they make me care? That I hand over.
Alexander!
How can they
make me care? This is the Bank for International Settlements telling you they want to mark your UTXOs on a scale as unsafe because they don't like where they came from.
Okay.
Dude, it is not a joke. And it's not a fucking thing that like you get to sit there as a Bitcoiner and determine what a bank or what any mainstream business, the larger the business, the more surely they're going to be following these regulations. You know, you're living on a continent, sir. No offense. That is like ahead of the pack as far as cracking down on financial freedom and, all of this kind of stuff. And I think that. You know, it's something to really pay attention to and not disregard. I think it's a way bigger deal than a lot of the other dramas people get sucked into these days.
So what you're saying is that they will make me care. They will make my life. They can influence my life that I have to care. I agreed.
It's basically that the interface between the Bitcoin world and the traditional finance world is where they have an ability to wield authority on the traditional finance rails. And that can either impact you or not impact you, depending on the exact context of every transaction. But the general theme and the general trend that's really important for people to watch is that despite a lot of seemingly bullish news, despite a lot of seemingly potentially exciting adoption, your favorite government, your favorite public company, your favorite whatever, the real undertone that should be watched here is that as this adoption is increasing and as people are sort of normalizing Bitcoin, there's like a steady march of regulation, rules, and framing of all this stuff that is not supporting freedom and sovereignty. It's the opposite. It's all supporting the legacy KYC AML regime, which is the opposite of freedom and sovereignty. We know that since this stuff has really come about, it's been, you know, a few decades only. It's really since the 80s and 90s that this stuff really started happening on the level that it is. And it's basically being used to limit individual citizens' freedom and sovereignty. And at the same time, the giant financial institutions that are supposed to be regulated by this stuff take advantage of those systems to conduct all kinds of financial crimes. So it's just one of the nastiest, dirtiest underbellies of the financial world. And as a citizen, unless you're a regulated bank, unless you're one of the contillionaire insiders, you're not benefiting from it. It's there to punish you. It's there to limit you. And so this thing today falls into that category. And it's particularly spooky because it's not Bank of America. It's not like a smaller entity. It's the Bank for International Settlements. That's like the central bank of central banks. It's one of the sort of like highest entities in this whole pyramid structure of financial authority in the world. So it's a very loud and clear message from a very meaningful, significant source that, yeah, you know, great. Look at the Bitcoin price. Awesome. Meanwhile, these vampires are figuring out how to suck your blood. Okay.
Yeah, especially when they get linked in with Palantir and get a nice fat contract to get all your data and everything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And to some people, you know, they say like, hey, this is just not that big of a deal because I'm not doing anything illegal with my bank accounts or my Bitcoin. So who cares? And that really pisses me off. But I just want to go to some other hands. Neil, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, just listening to, I don't know what you were just talking about. Like, my flat take is, I mean, I just don't give a fuck. I really don't. I don't care. Like, to me, it makes perfect sense that Bitcoin, this tool that's going to destroy central banking, that the central bank fights back. Like, I have no illusion that this is just some hippity dippity skip down the road and we're just in utopia. Like that, like I'm here for the fight. I understand, conflict and casualties, and it's hard and stressful and painful and it sucks, but I have my eyes on preparing the future that I want to deliver to my kids and their kids. So like, I don't know, to me, I almost welcome the challenge. Like the fact that they're coming out and saying these things, it is a showing of the hand that they're threatened. Like they understand the threat. They understand, oh shit, this could really, flip the table on our game. This evil game that we're playing on the world. And, I don't know. So I think it's good in that sense that they're coming out. I want to fight them. Like I'm here for this fight. And that I'm not going to let them, like, I'm not going to step into their Gnostic bubble. That idea of like, I have to care about what they care about. That's only if I step into their illusion. I am outside and I'm not going back. You are never going to put me back into that Gnostic monetary bubble where I think that value can just be created from nothing. Like I'm not going back in. And, I mean, it's like a, I don't know. That's what I believe. That's what I see is true. And I'm not coming off of that. So,
I'd like to respond real quick to that. I completely relate to that. I love that ideal. I love that concept. I mean, unless you're going completely off grid and becoming truly self-sovereign in every respect, you're still having to interact with the real world. Maybe, you know, the future you see for yourself, you're, you know, buying a piece of land or a nice house in a few years to like improve your family's life. And during the settlement of that transaction, suddenly someone's, oh, sorry, we have a problem. And it doesn't matter how much Bitcoin you have, your addresses have been marked as whatever by whatever institution. This is one of the realities of the world. It's not a thing to say you should be fearful because of these people doing these things. Maybe it's more to say, don't be so naive looking at what these politicians and governments are doing right now. I've seen a ton of people celebrating the excitement and bullishness of all these things happening recently, as far as executive orders and genius acts and like all this. It's just like if you look at the things closely and you look at the details, what's happening is there adoption? Sure. Is there more money flowing into Bitcoin? Sure. Is there more freedom and sovereignty? No, the opposite of that is occurring. So maybe that's informative to help you like watch what's happening and respond appropriately. It's actually like pretty predictable at a certain point where you see these politicians who know how to play this game of confidence, drumming up support while simultaneously stabbing in the back the same people that are supporting them. So just watch that pattern.
We got lots of hands up. Yeah. Great topic. Texas Toast, have you been paying attention to the order, or should are you still mad I called you a dummy?
No, you're good. Go with the Rico. Oh, and then
I came in last. I came in last.
Okay, I don't TIOD, Alexander, and going for presidents, and then Rico. So yeah, hit it up, hit them quick, so we can get to all of them.
All right, yeah, no problem. This is a great topic, and I think I completely agree with Neil on the, you know, let them come. You know, I'm going to be self-sovereign. My question though is to TC, in terms of, you know, these markings of UTXOs and whatnot, doesn't Lightning fix this? I mean, don't we have the Freedom technology already available to counteract this attack in a way with, you know, just putting your sats into a Lightning channel and then, having that, you know, kind of obfuscate where they came from?
There's all kinds of techniques for privacy. They all have trade-offs. They all have caveats. There's nothing that's a blanket fix for KYC. And I think it's a topic that's really kind of misunderstood because there's a ton of nuance there, but to try to simplify it quickly, the KYC lives on the platform where your Bitcoin was acquired and that never goes away. So if you buy your Bitcoin on Coinbase, Coinbase tells the IRS, this social security number just purchased this amount of Bitcoin. That's done and never going away. You cannot erase that. So you transfer the Bitcoin off Coinbase onto the chain and you can do X, Y, or Z there so that the person receiving Bitcoin ultimately from you in a transaction can't follow it all the way back to its origins of getting on chain. But those financial institutions and the government who knew that you bought it at this date and that amount, they have that in a database. And so some of the issues here, it's, I think it was Texas Toast who mentioned, Palantir and stuff like that. Like realize we're going into a phase of humanity where all this data gets cross-pollinated and really all it takes, look, we've seen already in the cases where Chainalysis was brought into court and they admit their shit is like voodoo. They're looking at a crystal ball and they're wrong all the time. It doesn't matter if what they say is the supporting evidence for a decision made by a financial institution or made by a government. And so the point is that if you're interfacing with the wider legacy world, this could come up at some point. It's just a call to action to make sure you're buttoned up in regard to coin control, call to action to make sure you're buttoned up with exactly how to use this technology, what tools to use so that you're least exposed to this kind of stuff, and never like let that slip from your consciousness. Because like I said, you don't want to find yourself in like a, you know, significant major situation financially in your life, like buying a house for your family or doing something of that, you know, high nature, and then suddenly get a stop sign, or even worse, like have your funds confiscated because somewhere along the line, somebody just, they didn't flag your Bitcoin. They flagged you as an individual and they said, oh, this is one of these self-custodying crazy Bitcoiners and we're gonna just put a cloud over them because we don't like that. Like that's I think more the nature of it. And so I agree with you guys, dude. I'm in this thing for all these same reasons, and it's just something to kind of like sober you that like maybe what flavor of node you run is not the most important thing right now. Maybe like pay attention to what these politicians and what these governments are doing. It's not supportive of freedom. It's not supportive of the sovereign Bitcoin case. And be aware, like temper your bullishness in that respect. Not that Bitcoin isn't incredible and the best money we've ever had. It's that, you know, the vampires are collaborating and formulating how to respond to this.
Yeah, for me, we've passed the, you know, they're laughing at us stage, and now they're in the full blown, we'll fight you. We've been in that basically since, you know, SBF in the last downturn. You know, that is continuing on. We're not even close to the then we win. There's a lot.
He gone. Who's next?
Now let's. Or HOT.
Just me and you, Rico. Go ahead.
All right, screw does. Okay, he's right. Don't be too bullish on the price of Bitcoin if Like, that's all you're worried. Like, you should be thinking about your home, your life. Are you locked down in a privacy set? Like, are you running a node node if you're going to be running on just a Bitcoin standard? Are you running multiple Lightning so that way if anything happens, your liquidity is good? Like, there's so much more. Like, Bitcoin, great. Privacy is the next battle. And he's right. They're here to, like, the way they fight is they infiltrate. What do you think all of these IPO companies and Bitcoin ETFs are about? They want to corner the market. Why do you think the Bitcoin policy, you know, DC and like this Nakamoto exchange or this new IPO that just, you know, is buying 750 million worth of Bitcoin with David Bailey? They infiltrate. Okay. So this is the next battle is privacy. You should be like not even talking about this stuff on Twitter. Let's be fucking real. Did you just see what happened with Samurai? We don't even know, guys. We see the tip of the iceberg from a very far distance and everybody's excited. But I so much to say on this, but I'll keep it short. So just throwing that out there.
No, I appreciate it. 23 Skidoo, what should I rename the space to this morning? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Right. Paranoia reigns supreme. No, man, this, what TC was saying, I don't have my glasses on, Rico was saying, I came on late. I just came up here and you guys were talking about this. This is the most pressing thing for me in Bitcoin. I'm not even caring about stacking sats. It's the privacy issue. It's almost bringing me to fucking, I'm trying not to get hopeless about it all. And, frankly, right now, I'm calling out for help. I'm saying to Rico, to TC, to anybody, like, resources. Tell me if anybody, I'm going to do a second dive now into Bitcoin to learn about all of this stuff to a deeper level. But if there's any resources you guys can point out.
Yeah, get your stats direct from the protocol. Stack direct from the protocol. Stack peer-to-peer.
Yes.
That's it. You gotta stop using exchanges. Like, honestly, I stopped a couple years ago. That's the thing.
I'm already past that. I already have, like, technically what.
He knows any more Bitcoin.
I already have that. So now it's just a question of what to do now in these next steps, whether it's coin joins, you know, all kinds of things. I'm about to set up a start 9. So that's one move I'm making. But yeah, if someone could do, Bob, if you could do a whole show or a week long of shows or something on this process. But as Rico said, I'm not sure we should be doing this on Twitter.
Yes. So, thank you.
Yeah.
So if I can, we talked about it yesterday. These spaces are recorded and CIA is listening. No, I'm just kidding. But I do think, like, I did put it up in the Nest. If you guys want to take a look, there is an interview that was remastered from Samurai Wallet from a year, maybe 2 years ago now. And I would encourage you, if you're interested in this privacy topic, I think Samurai does a great job of explaining it on this almost 2 hour recording. And so although Samurai isn't going to be used right now, based on what's happened, I think a lot of the topics in that audio would be a great resource for anybody looking to kind of get started and to figure out some of these things. So I'm not condoning the use of anything there in particular. I'm just saying I think it's good information for you to think about and is probably better than us kicking it around on a show. Not to say we couldn't.
Hey, just high level real quick. I think it's important for people to know about privacy tools as far as anything that does coin mixing and stuff like that. Like, those are really interesting tools and it's really interesting to look into. And there may be some real important use cases for that. Me personally, I've never mixed any coins and I've never felt the need to. I think it's far more important as a Bitcoiner to understand the protocol enough and how to use it and use best practices. And if you use best practices always, you're in about as good a situation as you can be. I think that trying to look for tools to kind of repair previous bad practices is the wrong way to go. And that's an important thing for people to think about. That the chain of transactions is immutable. What you've done in the past is not going to get repaired. What you can do is just learn and start operating using best practices. And then from there, you should feel a little bit better about your privacy and, you know, confidence in how you're operating.
Yeah, I will say another thing to check out too, and I agree with what you said, TC. I think BIP 47 is underutilized. So maybe Google BIP 47 and could be a good tool for you as well. I did want to make sure we get the ITOD. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, not to push back too hard on you, TC, but I do think we need to think about how to repair sins of the past. Lots of people have used exchanges and have KYC'd sats now. And there are ways you can go about to fix that, but those ways you need to find out on your own to the person asking, how do you manage that? I don't think you're going to easily get a YouTube video on that because I'm sure there's some legality around that, especially in the United States. I'd say look into Lightning. Understand that as best you can, right? Run your own Lightning node. But I think, you know, for those of us who have used exchanges, we do need to have good records of what we got, when we got it, and where we spent it in case we have the issues of law enforcement in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think coin control is critical and just simply labeling and understanding where the source of all your UTXOs are is a huge part of that. I think it's dangerous giving people the idea that you can repair KYC because you can't. Because right. KYC exists on the platform where you acquired the Bitcoin. So this is a very important framework I think people need to think about this from. I think this is really the nature of these situations. I think a lot of the maybe anxiety around it is not really knowing how this is going to play out in the future. And I think you just need to bring it back to, you know, core fundamentals, which is, you know, how you understand how to transact, choosing what source of your funds you're using when you're transacting and how to do all of that in a sovereign permissionless way. The whole topic that I brought up this morning is about the fact that once you're interfacing with any financial institution that's regulated, these things are very likely to come up in the future. So it's just something where, you know, there's definitely techniques to deal with it, but I get a little nervous about hearing this idea that you can somehow repair KYC because I really don't think you can.
One other point is in terms of CoinJoin and Samurai, you want to be very careful with that in a low transaction environment because, you know, if you're coin joining with your own stuff, it's not going to matter one bit. So I think the transactions right now are so low that I'd question the success of using that as a methodology anymore.
Man, that's a great point for right now. I totally agree. Did want to get to Sal here. We're nearing the end of the show, guys. So not to cut you off or keep you brief, but I did want to get to everybody and all the hands. So go ahead, Sal.
It's always good to be here. Thank you, Bob. And I'll keep it really short. I just wanted to, sorry I wasn't able to join earlier. I was in a meeting, but I specifically highlighted, I just open source a political economy report on Bitcoin. I'm a huge fan of Bitcoin veterans. I always start my day reading my daily intelligence bulletin. So I love what you guys do. But I specifically wanted to just first thank you all for what you do here. I share on the Nest my open source 7,500 word report where I took the time to go to the Vegas conference. I went to the DC conference and I highlight sort of provide to the folks that couldn't make it. I provide sort of a snapshot of where we're at as a network, where I foresee potential vectors of attack coming. Obviously, I think the right to self-custody and the right to transact peer-to-peer is something that will continue being attacked until we don't get that into law. I think that we should always continue alert. And my contribution to the space with this report is just to get the conversation going, but I specifically wanted to just pay my respect to, I think this daily, space is necessary. I love joining whenever I can. And, I do a special shout out to this on my report. So thank you all. I dropped it on the nest and I'm always open for feedback. So please just DM me or just, you know, at me or anything. I would love to incorporate the feedback as I'm open sourcing this, Bitcoin alignment indicator to sort of help folks, understand what's signal, what's noise. And obviously this space is signal, but I provide my methodology that I'm developing in that report. With that, just, I don't want to take more time. Thank you all for your time and I look forward to connecting with anyone. Thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Sal. I know you're a busy guy. Love when you come up and, always dropping great alpha. Rico, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'll springboard off that. I was just in another platform called Clubhouse and they were like, Twitter spaces, there's no signal. There isn't a whole lot of signal. And so I appreciate you this as well. That's literally probably messaging me that was going on as I came in here. But somebody said you have to learn it. You have to go into the market to learn the ways. I lived in Paris a while back and it was hard for me to get Bitcoin. They shut down all the ATMs. It was a blanket effect. And so I had to go peer to peer. Like what TC's talking about is using the network. I mean, like privacy is Bitcoin. That is what Bitcoin entitles. You just have to know how to use it. So he's 100% right. Learn how to use it. That's your own, like, there's not one fix. It does need to be talked about. I don't think we should talk about it on here. I don't use certain platforms because I've had problems with that as well. So this is part of the market. Eventually you'll be buying Bitcoin from your neighbor who's mining it because you're helping them help them families. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying, people? Got to pull back into yourselves. Stop going to the market, listening to the big news, listening to the ETF stuff. It's garbage for your brain. Okay. So go into the market, be the market, learn how to fucking provide. If you can mine, then mine and sell it. If you can be the middleman, that's why we have problems is because the system is the middleman. You see, we don't need them to transact. I'll leave it at that. Cheers.
Yeah. Appreciate those comments. Guys, we thank you all for listening each day. Thanks to all the speakers. Please do follow all these guys. Good people. And we'd love to have more voices in the space. So please do hit that microphone in the future. Pubby had to drop, I think, but he had a good idea. We might start recruiting for our signal group just to get people some of these topics ahead of time a little bit so people can think about it a little bit. And maybe get more contributions from the space. We're trying to stay away from the news. TC brought up the BIS news, so we didn't get the whole week through, but we'll forgive him for that because I do think it was super relevant to the topic today. Good spaces, guys. Go ahead, 23 Skidoo.
The signal group is already existing?
Yes, so the veterans have...
You have to get read in, dude. It will come to you. Don't come to us. We'll come to you, dude. All right?
Yeah. Don't go to bitcoinveterans.org and put your information in if you're interested to help. Don't do that. We'll come tapping on your
how
door.
How about this? Mine with Ocean, get your sats direct from the protocol, get paid out direct from the Coinbase transaction. There is no better. How about that?
Love it.
All right. That's
love it.
But yeah, thank you guys. That's a wrap for today. Wonderful week. Hopefully you guys had a great week like I did. This was fun. We'll do it again next week, 10 a.m. Eastern on Monday. Please join us for a weekend recap. And if you are interested, Texas Toast is going to reach out to you. but that's all we have for Friday, guys. Have a great weekend. Again, see you next week. And remember, whatever you do this weekend, don't shitcoin. It's like lighting a bag of dog poop on fire and then stepping in it yourself.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, we call them poor.